Blog Talk Radio.
All right, folks, this is Rebel Rousing Rich Bergeron.
And it's the tornado, Tony Penica.
And I'm sure our resident psychic will be popping in any time now to talk about Belfort versus Henderson 3. Big boxing news today, Tony. Bad news if you're a Miguel Cotto fan. We was hoping to see him.
Why?
Smack down Andre Ward. Andre Ward pulls out of the fight injured.
So, what happened?
Andre Ward's pulling out of the fight. He's injured.
With who?
With Cotto.
You mean Canelo Alvarez?
Andre Ward.
But Cotto's not fighting Andre Ward. He's fighting Canelo Alvarez.
Is it Alvarez? That's how much I know about it. I just published it on my blog. I could have sworn it.
I mean, I just got home about a half hour ago, so I haven't really seen or done anything. I've been, we're shorthanded today, so I didn't even get to my usual internet surfing at work.
Oh, Andre,
I actually had to work.
Andre Ward will be unable to participate in his previously scheduled November 21st bout in Vegas. That's all it says. So, yeah, I guess he's not fighting Cotto.
Yeah, well, he wasn't going to fight Cotto. I don't know who he was going to fight. Maybe on the card.
That's just me being out to lunch today. But, Andre Ward, he's withdrawing from his fight. I guess he was the co-feature on that card. The no Cotto card. That's where I got the confusion from.
They all confuse me like that.
Sorry. But anyway, bottom line is that's big news today. We also have stuff to talk about with Holly Holm and Ronda Rousey being on the cover of Ring Magazine. We didn't really talk about how you feel.
I heard about that.
Did that piss you off at all, Tony?
If it has, I haven't gotten my copy of it yet.
Psychic Tom, I'm feeling the vibe.
Yes, sir. Okay. Yeah, I noticed that. I guess Ronda now wants to finish up the MMA world and become a world boxing champion and then become a world jiu-jitsu champion. So she's got a full plate. She left off kickboxing. So we'll see how this goes.
Tony, what do you think about the reports here about Oscar De La Hoya saying that he wants to promote Ronda Rousey as a boxer?
Well, that could be good for both parties. De La Hoya is smart, signing a star. So Ronda Rousey, going along with, a well-known, highly respected, promoter. I know De La Hoya's Golden Boy's had some troubles recently, but, that could still be a win-win for both. Obviously it would be good for him to sign her, and it wouldn't be, bad for her, to latch up to that bus.
Okay, well. Ronda Rousey is fighting next weekend, not this coming weekend, next weekend, against Holly Holm, who is a female boxer converted to mixed martial arts. And I actually have a bet going with a friend and co-worker that Rousey will not finish Holm in the first round.
Well,
if she can.
Interesting.
Doesn't matter who wins, just matters who gets to the second round.
Well,
I think Holm has the defensive skills to hang with Rousey, and I think she's going to get a boxing wake-up call, similar to this guy that Rousey's mom hates, the trainer there, Edmund Tavernian. I guess he filed bankruptcy this week. Surprise!
What
surprise.
A scandal! What a scandal! See, I knew there had to be something behind the scenes that hadn't come out when her mom, when her mom tore into him. I mean, and her mom has an athletic background. I mean, you don't attack a team member of a world-class athlete. You just don't do things like that unless there's really something there. Come on. That's a team effort, and that's the last thing her daughter needed. But, maybe there was a lot more than we don't know coming out yet, too. And so what an amazing story.
One of the first rules of investigative reporting, follow the money.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
anyway, here's another boxing versus MMA, but boxing combined with MMA more. So, story here. I'm just going to play the tape because this should speak for itself if it plays. But actually, I think we're going to have a problem with it playing because of a stupid setup we have here. Let's change the line in here for a second to get that playing. So, what I'm trying to play here is that Freddie Roach. He'll, basically got to meet with Hello, can you hear me now?
I can hear you loud and clear.
Okay, let's try it now. Freddie Roach just met with George St. Pierre. Had a chance meeting with him at the Wildcard Gym, or somewhere anyway, but here's what he had to say about it. So, please. Ah, maybe we have to reload it. Basically, just to sum it up, I mean, I'll get it in his own words in a minute, but Freddie Roach had the chance to go 10 rounds on the mitt with George St. Pierre, who's been talking about coming back to mixed martial arts. And has actually already worked with Freddie Roach. But there's something here about maybe the subject of alternative health or maybe some stuff where the scientists might want to look into that because there's some genuine phenomenon here with Freddie Roach's Parkinson's condition, which is ironically caused by boxing, and his situation when he works with certain fighters, it goes away. And he talks here about how he does not even need his medication when he does stuff like this with fighters like George St. Pierre. So I thought that was interesting because I'm kind of an alternative health nut.
Sure. So am I.
And I've talked about that before. Freddie Roach had said before that when he goes in there and works the mitts with certain fighters, his Parkinson's symptoms go away. And I know I have seen in the Google alerts every day for boxing, there are people who talk about boxing therapy for Parkinson's disease. So it's pretty interesting stuff to me anyway. Let's see if I can get this to play. Okay. Hold on one chance. Anyway, I guess we won't hear the audio. We'll just have to go with what we have. All right. All right, can everybody hear me now?
I can hear you.
All right, let me try this one more time. Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir.
Okay, let me try this. Now my computer decides to be slow. All right. Who's going to move on then? Anthony Johnson is going to be facing Ryan Bader, UFC on Fox 18 on January 30th, next year. It's the next big fight there for Rumble Johnson. Co-feature is going to be Tarek Safadin against Jake Ellenberger.
Well, Rich, what's your gut feeling on that? Just without analyzing it too much, just what is your gut telling you?
I think Rumble walks away with this one. Rumble is perfectly suited for a guy like this. He just is just so much physically bigger. You know, even at this higher weight, he's just so much more dominant with the striking. Bader has wrestling, but I don't know if you can neutralize a lot of what Rumble has with wrestling. I mean, Cormier was able to do it to some extent, but he had to get rocked before he did it. And I don't think Bader can take that kind of punch.
Yeah, I would say Bader's high risk will be that first round. I think if he gets through that, and that's a big if, I think eventually by the third round he can really take charge. But the odds against him getting out of that first round are problematic. So I would agree with you. I think Anthony's got to be the favorite here. But, you know, Bader's had his setbacks, but I'll give him credit. He seems to have learned from him. So we'll see what kind of strategy he adopts going into that first round. I'd say keep your hands up, buddy. Keep your hands up. Because all it takes is one shot from Johnson, as we've seen. It's a scary thing about fighting a guy like that.
On a side note, on my Twitter account, ZionSucks.com, all one word, we have somebody that tweeted me today about the heavyweight matchup rematch between Fabricio Werdum and Cain Velasquez. And he had a little spelling error that said that this rematch is underserved.
Undeserved.
Underserved. He wrote.
Really, I find that interesting. So he's saying that Cain. He's referring to Cain Velasquez, I assume.
Correct, because he was dominated the first time. And I wrote back that I'm more kind of upset, and I think it's more sad that there's so many heavyweight fighters out there in the UFC who specialize in zombie fighting. Hands down defense. It's just, you can't have that and sustain a heavyweight division. So that's why I don't want to see that fight, because, I mean, you know, Cain Velasquez is a zombie fighter. He's done it so many times with Junior Dos Santos. Now he's going to have this trilogy with Fabricio Werdum. Do we have to see this time and time again if this is how it's going to go? I don't think so. I kind of agree.
But I would say, on the other hand, though, that you look at how dominant Cain has been, with the one exception of the first Dos Santos fight, and, you know, and I hate that phrase, I just got caught, but, you know, and lucky punch and all that. I don't believe there's such a thing as a lucky punch. You know, you throw it, you intend to land it, you land it. But having said that, Cain has been so dominant that you could easily make a case that it's still unfinished business. Now, I'll say this much. If Cain comes up short the second time around, that's a whole other story. But, yeah, assuming he wins, then we got to see a third one before anyone else gets their shot, you know, including my man Stipe. I'd love to see him get up there, but he's got to get past Arlovsky first, which is certainly no given either. So see how it goes.
Yes, sir, we will. We also have the big matchup this weekend of Vitor Belfort, who just recently made the news for a lot of reasons, but also for backing Ben Carson for president. Came out of hiding, basically, from what I've read, Vitor did, to basically endorse Ben Carson. But he's in a lot of news lately because he has been outed in a special report. I think this was one of the UFC's thorns in the side. Josh Gross, I believe his name is the one who was behind this. He basically outed the fact that Vitor Belfort tested positive for elevated testosterone levels before the John Jones fight. And they let him fight anyway. They knew about it. The UFC was fully aware. This, that, and the other thing. And this is potent stuff, because there's also been reports that Dana White has been ducking the media over this. He has conveniently not shown up at any of the post-fight pressers for the last four or five events.
Yes. There's. I believe I sent you an article about that. A lot of talk here that maybe he's served his purpose. Now, again, I think there's a lot of wishful thinking along those lines. But the consensus is And I was hearing these rumbles maybe even, you know, 5-6 years ago that he did a great job getting things to where they're at. But at this point, is he becoming more of a liability, and is he just too full of himself to be effective anymore? That's the question.
Yeah, at the same time, I look at a guy like Rich Franklin, who is now in charge of ONE FC over there overseas, and the UFC gave him his, you know, gave him blessing to do that. He's a former fighter, like Ray Cifo. Not that World Series of Fighting is doing bad. They're dealing with their own issues with their licensing and all that we talked about last week. But you have a situation, too, where the Fertittas are doing some moves behind the scenes right now. They're selling a $40 million plot of land out there in Vegas, I just read. They're trying to go public again at their casinos. Something tells me there's a money problem in the family, or they're trying to generate a lot of fast cash right now. Watch out for that kind of stuff and how it impacts the UFC, because they're the really the money behind it. I mean, Dana White's not pulling money out of his own pocket to fix things if it needs to be fixed. It's them. It's the Fertittas. It's their piggy bank. So keep an eye on that type of stuff. I'm going to be watching the news on it and probably be updating ZionSucks.com for once in a long while on the whole thing. But they're also making money with their Indian casinos, so it doesn't make sense to me that they need money now. But you never know with them what they're involved in. But they've got a big event here with Vitor Belfort versus Dan Henderson. This is actually the third time these two are fighting. They've had two fights before. Of course, Anderson Silva has fought everybody who's anybody in the industry. But, happened to have fought Vitor Belfort twice. He had a win in Pride 32, October 21st, 2006. And that was the first fight. Then he lost to Belfort, the new Belfort, at UFC Fight Night 32 in 2013 by head kick in the first round, just a minute 17 into the fight. So this is the rubber match, third time's the charm. The first one was a unanimous decision, by the way. So it went from being a three-round fight in the first contest to being a quick knockout for Belfort. So I don't know whether that tells you anything about his testosterone situation or what's going on. I can profess after more than a week on these booster pills that it definitely has an effect on you when you're intaking something that boosts your testosterone. Today is my first day off, actually. The day off today because I'm getting too much of a buzz.
Wow.
Too much. Yes. Not quite, concerning results, because I know these things do have certain side effects, but, a little bit of a, too much of a heart palpitation the other day, so I said, all right, I'm laying off for a day.
The
first thing is, there's instructions on the side of these pill bottles, right? Okay, let me ask you guys, if you were told to, as a dietary supplement, take three capsules once a day.
Yes.
Would you take all three at once?
No.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Don't do that. Yeah, I take one at a time. I think it works.
Yeah, that's what I do. I mean, because even with some of the stuff that I've been doing on the diet that I've been on since last year, it'll say, and mine kind of specifically broke it down. It's like when I first started, it would like almost give you time frames on what to do every day. So they wake up in the morning, drink a glass of water. Then, around 9 a.m., have your breakfast shake. Around 11, have a snack. And so with your breakfast shake, you do your pack of morning supplements and one of your, natural accelerators, which is almost like a metabolism booster. Then if you have your snack at 11, they'll tell you, what kind of snacks to have. And then you take, a flush tablet, which is a probiotic to help, help you with your digestion. You have your lunch at whatever time, you have your snack at whatever time with your second snack around 4 o'clock, you do another one of your natural accelerators, your metabolism booster. Have your dinner, you take another one of your flushes, and then you take your pack of night supplements. But you're not taking everything all together. And, by doing that, it's like first of all, is that you're overloading yourself, and second of all, it's like you're not getting that continuation where it's like you take something at 9 and something at 3, it's going through your body all throughout the course of the day, and it's not giving you a blast, and then nothing for the rest of it.
And I don't know, I mean, I've kind of been one of those people who would advocate a kind of modified Atkins diet over the years, but I don't know if you guys heard about this, but red meat, processed meat causes cancer now. We're all fucked.
I heard that. That sucks. I don't like hearing that.
Well,
I can't be like stupid shit that I don't like that causes cancer.
Right.
Well, just consider the source, the World Health Organization. Look at their track record.
Yeah,
the same ones that said back in the 70s, eggs are going to kill you. Go to margarine instead of butter. I mean, they've been so consistently wrong, you know, the food pyramid, all that stuff. So consider the source. Nothing in excess or moderation. I wouldn't lose any sleep over it.
I thought the funny thing was, it seemed to me like right after they made that announcement that the price of bacon went up.
And I guess they had a lot of fun over in Germany and Austria. You know, a lot of the government officials were showing up with a big plate of sausage and stuff like that. You know, that's quite the culture. You know, I was in the army over in that part of the world. That was really the culture, telling the Germans to get rid of their bratwurst. Give me a break. Moderation, that's the key, moderation. I mean, it's people go, and everything seems like it goes in cycles, and I'm old enough now to have seen I can't say I've seen everything, but I've seen these things come and go so much, and I just remember about 20 years ago it was fat-free foods. Well, how'd that work out? Then it was the low-carb craze. Now it's the gluten craze, and 10 years from now we'll be scratching, hey, remember that gluten? Remember how bad that was? You know, I mean, and maybe for some people it's good to avoid it, but I just think these things get overblown, in my opinion. But we have free choice. That's the nice thing about it. We have free choice. You want to go to McDonald's, go to McDonald's. You want to eat clean, eat clean. That's up to you.
I'm trying to maintain Marciano diet, especially now that I'm on the lumberjack regimen, daily work schedule. Try to eat as much steak as possible.
There you go.
Just enough juices in there for your digestion to be naturally aided there. And it's got a lot of chromium in it, which is good as a supplement, and it's even better from the source. And that's my philosophy. It's always been closest to the source. And no matter whether it's, you know, processed by you or processed by somebody else, as long as you know what that process is and it's not involving some kind of a chemical, you know, and you know where that source is and it's natural, you shouldn't have to worry about any kind of meat.
Yeah, I would definitely agree.
You got to qualify it with that. Not talking about raw meat.
And, you know, also, I've kind of dropped that phrase diet because the phrase diet implies deprivation, misery. I like the word clean eating or powerful nutrition, putting good fuel in your body. It sounds a little better. Like exercise.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? And it's just like exercise. Well, that sounds so blah. That's like those stupid arm circles in gym class. I don't know if they did that when you guys were kids. You know, when I was a kid, stupid arm circles or going for a walk. I don't like exercise. I like training. We don't exercise. We train. It just sounds so much better. Semantics.
Tom, I happen to like my term better than all of them. That's called tornado sizing.
There you go. Okay. I like it. Yeah.
Patent it. You got to patent it. You got to talk to your buddy. Not only patent it, but you got to talk to buddy Diamond Dallas Page. That's good. Could be your co-host for your exercise video.
you guys would know see me like when I go to the gym, because like I walk in there and a lot of these they all know me there. I annoy them, and I'm gonna tell you something else pretty funny in a few seconds. I walk in and I just kind of point to my watch, and they all say, "Okay, it's tornado time." I said, "You're damn right." and don't forget it. The other thing is, unfortunately, and I don't know what I'm going to do yet. You know, my company is relocating in a few months. We're moving to Center City, Philadelphia, not far from where you were at the train that time, Rich. Which for me is about an hour and a half commute each way. Whether I drive, which I really don't think I'll be doing, because that means I'd have to fight through Center City traffic, which is a nightmare. And by taking the public trans, it takes me 20 minutes to get to the train station, then an hour on the express train. So it means I have to get up an extra hour early, and you know how peachy I am in the morning. So they were having a meeting with us last week and telling us all the perks of moving downtown. And I said, oh, yeah, please tell me, you know, because they're dealing with my sarcasm, which is never good. And that gives us, because our main company, Independence Blue Cross, is located downtown. We're going to be right next door to them across the street. So they're like, and we have all the perks of being next to the IBC building. I said, oh, yeah, please tell me some of them. Well, we have a diverse and urban environment. I said, that does not impress me. And we have, you know, we're close to the market for shopping. I don't shop during lunch. Okay, go again. And you have access to their training facilities. I said, okay, tell me more about that. Because I go to LA Fitness, and I'm not saying, you know, that's a great gym, but I pay $20 a month because I have a deal there. And I do what I want to do. The trainers leave me alone. You know, I bullshit with them, but I do what I want to do. Like Monday night, I know I'm doing cardio and I'm getting into them power rope type things. I'm getting into them. I feel good. You know, I'm starting to do a little bit of weights again, you know, low weight, high rep. I'm feeling good. Tuesday night is a boxing night. Thursday and Friday are boxing nights. I feel good, you know. So I said, okay, tell me about your gym. And they're, you know, getting all impressed and they're going to tell me about it. I said, let me stop you right there. What kind of boxing equipment do you have? Well, we have a heavy bag. I said, A, as in singular? Yeah, I said, I don't know. And it's one of those bags in a stand.
Hey.
Tom, oh, it gets better. It's one of those bags in a stand. I said, it's one of those what? It's a bag in a stand. I said, no. I said, that does not meet my standards.
We're talking about Bob, right?
It's like a Bob. And I have a Bob in my basement. Now, I had a Bob because when I lived at my old house, I didn't have a basement to put a heavy bag in. And I tried to, we had a thing outside that we built to hang one, but then you had to bring it inside and outside every day. It was a pain in the ass.
You didn't really
have a lot of room to work with it. So I got a Bob, you know, so I could at least beat on something, you know. First thing I bought was a heavy bag, a water bag. So now I'm asking him, I'm like, oh, there's a heavy bag in the stand. I'm like, that doesn't meet my standards. But we also have some cardio boxing classes. I said, stop right there. I said, I box. I don't do cardio boxing.
Hold on.
I said, I don't think your gym's going to meet my standards.
I don't need...
The look on her face was priceless.
I don't need...
you're telling the truth. I mean, especially from Philadelphia. That's a boxing town. Come on.
All right, Tony.
Yeah, exactly.
There's the plan, Tony. Okay? Everything's going to go smoothly because I'm going to call Donald Trump. He's going to be president, right? So he's going to have Marine One, and we're going to take his helicopter and make it the corporate Flight News Unlimited helicopter.
I could use a helicopter. You know, that would actually help me.
Come on. If he can give free rides to the kids at the Iowa Fair, he can help out somebody involved in the flight business, right?
That's right. Donald Trump likes boxing. I mean, first flight I attended back in the day was the Trump Taj Mahal.
Yeah.
Michael Moore and Bert Cooper.
He's a big fighter.
Tony, those bobs are good for an image, though, because I have one, and they just look so cool. And, I like to throw some light shots at the body, but... you know, they are kind of fragile. They're not really, they're not a substitute.
You hear them and what they do, they weeble and wobble and all that.
It's like I kind of like to work that left hook to the body with it and come in with some uppercuts with it. But you can't overdo it. You know, I get some friends that are cavemen, and I had this one buddy who was a prison guard, and he picks up one of my sticks and starts pounding, and I said, whoa! It's time for you to retire from that job. It's went to your brain, you know. But, it's no substitute for a heavy bag. But it just looks so cool. It just looks, you know, it's just got that look about it. Every home gym should have one, I think, you know.
I think the funniest story regarding a bob, as we call them, this is back, I guess it was early 2000. It's when I first got it. I was still in my old house. And I got a bob. And, hey, I was happy, you know, we had something to hit on again. And so we're having a party at the house. And we're all about, you know, 23, 24 years old. You know, still young, still stupid. Well, I'm still stupid. You know, just not as young. So we're having a party there. We're having a good time. So my one friend, he's like a big gorilla. He's a big ape. And he's wailing on this thing. You know, he's swinging like a, as you said, a caveman. Now, I'm sitting there thinking, I'm like, oh, shit, you know, we got my grandmother's china cabinet, because we're in, like, the one family room, basically. That's the only where I had to put this thing, which is, like, it was a double house. So I converted, like, one side into a little gym, you know, but it was still, basically, we still had furniture in there. It was all I had. And there was still a china cabinet in there, you know, for whatever reason. And this imbecile is swinging on this bag. And I said, he's so drunk, he's going to miss, and he's going to go through this china cabinet. I don't care about him. I care about my grandmother's china cabinet. And when my parents come home from vacation, they're going to murder me. So I thought of a brilliant idea in my infinite drunken wisdom that I am going to put myself between this idiot and the china cabinet, figuring if he misses, in my tremendous reflexes, and my blinding speed and my art of defense, I will block or stop anything he throws. Theory, great. Practice, not so great. Because as I'm watching this moron swing away, and I'm laughing, somebody goes, yo, Tone. And I look. And as I'm looking at this person, all I see is a blur. And I took a right hand right on the face.
Ooh.
Now, but the funniest part about it was, he's much bigger than me, and like I said, we grew up together, and a lot of these other guys there are, you know, pretty big, beefy guys. I take this shot on the face, and I stopped, and I looked at everybody, and they said, I was like, you dumb sons of bitches, if you don't get the hell out of this room, I'm kicking somebody's ass. And they said, the room scattered. And I stood there for like 2 minutes, just standing there by myself, as my eye did up. Within like 2 seconds, I had a big ass shiner. Like, you've got to be shitting me. Thanks, Bob.
It was well earned.
You know the best thing I use Bob for now?
Like a clothing rack?
When I have a Halloween party, I had a Halloween party a couple weeks ago. It's down in the basement where a lot of my boxing equipment is. So my heavy bag, I throw a prison jumpsuit on the heavy bag, and I hang one of them like rubber heads you can get at like Spirit Halloween. So it's like I have a zombie head hung next to the prison body like a decapitated person, as morbid as that sounds. And I have like a bunch of sheets that I made up, you know, to cover the walls. I have a lot of, you know, sports memorabilia down there, and it doesn't have a good atmosphere for a Halloween party. So I got these, you know, sheets, and I covered them in fake blood, and I have them hanging up. Well, behind the one sheet, as I use my Bob, I stand it up 7 feet tall. I throw a hockey mask on him, and he's my Jason.
All right.
Tornadoes, always thinking, people.
We got to change gears a little bit here. We got to recap or preview Vitor Belfort versus Dan Henderson. Kind of got on that subject, but as usual, we went off on a different tangent. That's okay. That's what we do. Vitor Belfort is 24-11.
That's what we did.
Right,
24 years.
Henderson is 31-13. As I said, they each have a win against each other. This is the third fight they're headlining. The co-main event is pretty interesting. Patrick Cummins getting a big shot here at the co-main event card. He's only 8-2, fighting Glover Teixeira, who is 23-4. Big diverse difference in the records there. The other fight up at the top of the card, undefeated Thomas Almeida, 19-0, fighting Anthony Burchak, who is 12-2. Alex Oliveira, also on this card, 12-3-1, fighting Piotr Hallman, who's 15-4. This one intrigues me. Gilbert Burns, undefeated at 10-0, versus Rashid Magomedov, who's 18-1. And I got to say, some people have no pictures on SureDog. Gilbert Burns has to have the best picture on Sure Dog. He looks ready to fight. He definitely looks ready to fight.
Hey, I'll have to check it out.
And closing his eyes and smiling like he is ready to kick some ass. Like he's going to have the Hulk transformation happen.
Love it.
You know, that this is an interesting card because I think Teixeira has to be the favorite just based on quality of opposition, experience, and all that. But Cummings is he's kind of a loose cannon guy, kind of unpredictable. So I mean, my money would be on Glover, or however he pronounces it. But that should be fascinating. And then I think in the Belfort fight, if Henderson gets out of the first round, again, it's almost like my prediction on Bader. Henderson's got to avoid that early charge, and I think the longer it goes, even though he's got the age disadvantage, he's 45 now.
You're still out on how effective Belfort will be without testosterone.
Well, according to what you said, he may not be without it. I still think if Henderson can just review everything that went wrong that first time around and be very cautious early, because Belfort, going back to the first time I seen him back in, that was May of 1997, and his first opponent, Trey Teligman, boy, there's some trivia, and he had boxing hands, and then he fought Scott Ferozzo. They still had the tournament format then, and stopped both those guys very quick, and he's always had that quick by that boxing hand speed. In fact, Al Stanky was training him, and he was considering representing Brazil in the Olympics. He was looking, and then he was even considering a pro boxing career, but didn't go that way. But I think that's Henderson's big worry. If he gets through the first round, my money's on Dan.
Rito just has to stay away from the H bomb, and
yes.
And make up somehow for the lack of testosterone. You should be.
Okay. Now, Rich, I don't know if you're getting your levels measured on this, but that would be interesting.
I don't have a lot at my disposal.
Yeah, I'm considering doing that myself because I try a lot of different natural boosters. I'd be a little afraid of the actual injectable stuff, but I do a lot of different ones like that. So.
I looked at the bottle, and I thought they gave me a 30-day supply, but there's 90 capsules in every bottle, and they gave me 3 bottles. So you're supposed to take 3 of that's 90-day supply, and I'd have to take my first day off today. I didn't really do anything, but, you know, at the same time, I was just like, all right, this stuff is too good.
Well, yeah, so if you have a place around here, a clinic, I use LabCorp, You can get it tested because everything I've learned about this, it's a 10% drop per decade.
I can see why people would want to keep it legal to have the ability to do the testosterone therapy and stuff like that. Obviously, this isn't the type of therapy the fighters would do, the type of shit they would pay for, big bucks. But I mean, it's a step up from regular supplements. I think it's serious stuff when you go into the testosterone booster category. But the one thing I like about this stuff is it is 100% all natural, but at the same time, you know, it doesn't mean you shouldn't look up the side effects and stuff like that. Because, you know, if I took like 3 pills at once every day, I think I would be in serious trouble by this point.
Well, Rich, I've been popping all kinds of stuff since the 70s, and my rule, actually, the 60s, probably. Okay, and I would say the main thing, just common sense, listen to your body. And to me, the things that get to me now are fat burners. Some of them, I just get tweaked up, geeked out, whatever you want to call it, and very uncomfortable, like a dirty energy on some of those fat burners. Be careful with them.
Yeah. Sorry, you got the speaker disconnected. Say that again, Tom.
Fat burners. What you need to be careful with, because when I take a few of them, and sometimes I don't notice the dosage like I should, because I'm an idiot. But tried this stuff. Went to the Arnold Classic a few years ago down in Columbus, and they were giving away all kinds of samples, and so there was this stuff, Speed Shot. And so I chugged down a few cans of that before a session, and wow. Woo! I mean, some of that stuff is just, it's just almost too much for maybe this old man, you know. But just listen to your body. Your body will tell you if it's the right feeling. Go from there.
Right. Yeah, a buddy of mine actually, he's about 10 years older than me, almost 50, just had an experience. We were hiking a mountain and started having heart palpitations, and he does a lot of the energy drink stuff.
Yeah, that's be careful.
So he just said, I got to quit the energy drinks and noticed a big difference, but he still doesn't want to hike anymore. He's got that dramatic experience. it seems to me whenever I have heart palpitations, it's always indigestion. I burp a couple times and it goes away. So this time, it wasn't even really bad. It was just like, all right, this is definitely because I've had too much testosterone. I had that feeling. And I did feel kind of like I hadn't had enough to eat all day, even though I was eating. So that was a part of it, too. And I said, all right, day off. Day off.
Now, how do you feel are you doing any weightlifting now?
No, but I do think my muscle definition has gotten better. I've been swinging the mall a lot because we're way down in the woods trying to get the last of the stuff that's available here before we move to a different lot. So I've been doing a lot of lumberjack stuff, throwing wood around, going a long distance from where the wood is to where the truck is to load it, stuff like that. So good Rocky IV type stuff without the snow.
Okay, baby.
Actually, she's in Rocky territory this week, Tony. Get to the rest of the card on UFC in a minute, but Creed is circulating with the trailers for the new Rocky movie. And not only that, Real Boxing 2 is coming out for, I think, PlayStation, the latest PlayStation. And it's,
all right.
It's Creed themed. It's all themed around.
All right.
Yeah. A game that will hopefully be better than the one we like to make fun of, where the mob is involved and you have to throw a fight.
Oh God, yeah, the Fight Night Champion. Oh God.
Yeah, we don't need any of that crap. But yeah, Real Boxing 2. It's based on the movie Creed, and like I said, the character Michael Jordan, who plays Apollo Creed's son, there looks exactly like him.
He does look a lot like Carl Weathers. I've got to give him that.
So it looks pretty entertaining. I mean, they did do a good job with the trailer. We'll see how it goes.
And I think a lot of the suspense in this one is they show there that Rocky is sick. He has cancer. And at one point in the trailer, you hear Michael Jordan, Adonis Creed, doing a voiceover saying, "A great man once said," and he does the line from Rocky Balboa. I'm like, "Great man once said? Mm. Is it possible that he's eulogizing Rocky?"
Uh-oh. Don't say that to Rocky fans, Tony.
Remember, they considered killing him off in Rocky V.
Yeah. I actually have a communication going on with, email out to a guy who claims to be the real-life Rocky, an undefeated boxing prospect out there. So
everybody claims to be the real-life Rocky.
There's only one real-life Rocky. Come on. And we know who that is. I hate the phrase, like, the real-life Rocky.
Marciano.
No, you know who I'm talking about. Chuck Wepner.
He's what Rocky based on, but a lot of the characters.
Sure, Rocky was based off him.
Right, exactly. Well, supposedly the story was Stallone was really down on his luck at this time, and he watched this fight, which happened here in my area, and I'm sure you guys are historians. You know how that went, the old step on the foot and knock him down. And I know after that first round, Wepner's strategy was just, I'm sure you've both seen it, but I mean, he'd get in the clinches and all those back, those rabbit punches. Holly screaming at the referee, and we're in for some entertainment. And what a gutsy performance, though, to last 15 rounds, almost 15 rounds. With Muhammad was trying to hurt him. After that knockdown, Muhammad really lost his temper, and he was going after him. I mean, I think he was kind of on cruise control early because there was no threat from the skill level of Chuck Wepner, as courageous as he was. But after that knockdown, it got serious, and Wepner hung in there. He won my respect, and so Stallone got this brilliant idea from seeing that. And I guess there were some legal things later on between the two. I don't know much about that, but he's the real life Rocky.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how this the new film is adopted or rejected, depending on how it's met by fans of the Rocky series. Will it meet up to the hype? We'll see. But the difference.
Well, I was actually reading the interview today. The guy that wrote it is 29 years old, so obviously the Rocky movies obviously have predated him. But he was such a fan. This is like really the first movie that Stallone did not write.
Yeah. Wow.
And he's got the closest to him, and Stallone said he first thought, like, this kid's crazy. He's out of his mind. And
maybe it will be better because of that. Oh, who said that?
Could be.
Well, we'll check it out, definitely, for sure. Maybe we can get a free ticket.
That'd be nice.
I'll work on it. Anyway, the Real Boxing 2 is coming out. It's a new movie. And they're going to have players in the shoes of Adonis for its single-player mode, with a virtual version of Stallone training him, as reported by Pocket Gamer. The game itself looks like a mix of training with Rocky and actual boxing. It's a trailer. It's any indication. They're also going to have a multiplayer mode in the game, and while that's expected in most boxing games, it is somewhat odd seeing one based on a movie title. It only focuses on a few characters. But, of course, the Rocky films have had their fair share of memorable characters, so if they just do Creed, you know, I'm sure they'll probably have the Legends or something. We'll see how many other names get put in it. But they're going to blend together the single-player mode and the multiplayer mode somehow. And it's coming out later this month.
So, oh, wow.
Real Boxing 2. Those that sign up for the VIP club can get exclusive gear and a chance to try the game out in a beta test. And November 19th is the available date for iOS and Android. Be free to play. Will presumably support in-app purchases for those who don't want to grind for rewards. So it's an app game, I guess. Pocket Gamer. Yeah, so it's not even a PlayStation game.
You know, all this talk about Stallone has me drifting back in time, and I remember when he had Ernie Shavers working with him for one of the movies. And you guys are probably familiar with this story. You remember how Stallone probably mentioned this before, how Stallone said, oh, go ahead, go on, give me a body shot. And Shavers, I talked to someone who was a light heavyweight who had sparred with Shavers. And actually, Shavers wanted the light heavyweight guy to spar with him, you know, to work on speed. And he told me Shavers was a gentleman, because I'm looking at this guy like, what kind of moron are you sparring with Ernie Shavers and you're a light heavyweight? But anyways, he said Shavers was a gentleman, and he was that way with Stallone. He didn't want to really unload on him, and Stallone was demanding it. So Shavers gave him about a half-force body shot, and that ended the session. I guess Stallone went back and threw up, which I don't blame him, but I can't understand what Stallone was thinking. You know, this is Ernie Shavers you're in there with, the man that Muhammad Ali said hit him harder than anyone.
Wow.
I think we'll pass on hitting me hard.
At least he didn't shit his pants like Steven Seagal and Judo Gene LaBelle, right?
Oh, speaking of that, there was another incident like that about 3 weeks ago. I should have sent you the link. Pretty disgusting. Happened down in West Virginia, and it was a mess. Oh,
talked about that, didn't we? The guy got choked out and he shit his pants?
The video was just, oh, my God. It's just, and okay. I guess the guy heard from Tim Sylvia, and Sylvia said, just laugh it off, you know. Gotta go, you gotta go. One way to look at it, I guess.
UFC card to change the subject quickly for you fans out there who want to listen to our shit. Fabio Maldonado is 22-8. He's facing Corey Anderson, and I like to criticize Fabio because his boxing record is overblown. He's faced a bunch of bums, they make a big deal that he's got this huge boxing record, and now they're putting him in against 6-1 Corey Anderson. He's got 22 MMA wins. I think and I hope Corey Anderson will destroy Fabio, because he should be exposed. I think he's got a lot to learn, and he's got horrible defense for a boxer. And he's way overconfident. He did have a good fight against, what's his name there, Rampage.
Yeah.
You know, it was kind of a tune-up fight for Rampage, so I don't think Rampage took it serious. I think he came in overweight for that fight and everything, so, yeah, I wouldn't put too much stock in that.
Well, I think Fabio's got a good defense. He's got a pretty strong beard, as Teddy Atlas would say. Pretty strong beard. He blocks everything, you know. So, yeah, this ought to be interesting. This is going to be fun.
We also have Gleison Tebow, 33-11, versus Abel Trujillo, who's 12-6. Interesting one between Johnny Case, 21-4, versus Jan Cabral, who's 12-1. And Clay Guida is back in action, 32-15, fighting Thiago Tavares, who's 19-6-1. And it's interesting to see Clay Guida way down on the undercard. Way down. He's the fifth fight of the night. So I don't know what that says about him or his opponent, but yeah, I don't think
he's
all
we much need to know.
Being that far down the line. We got a bunch of other fights there. We'll stop there for time purposes. We also have to talk about a couple other stories. Here's an interesting one about Fedor Emelianenko, who's not involved with Vadim Finkelstein anymore. He's now a lone wolf, as they say, negotiating his own deals. He's back in MMA. He's going to be fighting his first fight soon with an unknown fighter, but as part of a separate organization altogether. Not M1, not the UFC, not Bellator. It's a partner of Bellator, but it's not it's not owned by Bellator. But this is an interesting story about the comeback and some of Fedor's comments about his comeback and who was concerned about his comeback. according to Fedor's interview with rsport.ru, he says, "For me, it is very important to have the support of family, and only with the consent of relatives I returned. Of course, I had to persuade them. I consulted with different people about this. Some took it with great joy. Others asked, why go back? They reacted differently, but basically what I saw and heard supported my decision. I try not to think about critics. Still, I did not come back for them, not for the sake of avenging my defeats. Yes, Putin and I talked. He said he would be very worried, and he wished me luck." Putin.
Putin's a huge MMA fan. We know that.
Right.
Wow, that's interesting.
Looking bad for the USSR. Russia.
Well, it's one of those questions that is a layoff what he needed. I mean, if you look at Muhammad Ali, that layoff that everyone thought was going to destroy him actually extended his career, I believe. And he came back with a little different style, but he was a little smarter. So we'll see. We'll see if the layoff, maybe Fedor was just burnt out. That's the question.
Maybe. Here's one that I think Tony will like, even though it's a mixed martial arts story. The Rock. The Rock wrestler has influenced at least one MMA fighter. There was a fight over the weekend at Pancrase 271. The guy with a boxing name, Luis Nogueira, managed to knock, well, a mixed martial arts name, I should say, the Nogueira brothers. Luis Nogueira managed to knock his opponent out with a throw that looked a whole heck of a lot like The Rock's patented rock bottom finisher.
Nice.
And this is a GIF file that's going viral now. The fight did air on UFC Fight Pass, which didn't help the viral situation. It's been expanding since its launch to feature all sorts of worldly mixed martial arts stuff on the UFC Fight Pass. And this Pancrase was a Japanese fight promotion. And just basically they hit the nail on the head with that one. The rock bottom finisher. Basically slammed the guy and pretty much that stopped the fight. It was like a flash knockout. So that was it. Boxing. Getting back to boxing here for a second. Manny Pacquiao. Obviously, we talked last week about the potential, as much as we're depressed about it, for a Pacquiao versus Mayweather 2 fight. Now, Amir Khan has tried to put out there that he's fighting Manny Pacquiao. Manny Pacquiao's promoter, Bob Arum, says, fuck no, which is not happening. don't you think I'm the promoter of the fight and I would know if I sent a contract, says Bob. It's total bullshit. It's not true. This is fucking ridiculous. This is there is no deal. There is no contract. There has been no decision whatsoever. Top Rank has sent a contract to neither of them. Top Rank will send a contract to one of them when Manny makes his decision on who he wants to fight. That's Khan or Crawford. Crawford would be the one. If it's not Mayweather. So, I think Bob Arum's a little upset.
Yeah, my thing is a teeny bit.
And Manny Pacquiao obviously has had some injury situations with his shoulder. Apparently he's had some dust-ups with Bob Arum over the rehab. Wanted to do his own ocean swimming rehab. And Bob Arum wanted to go to a freaking doctor.
Nonsense.
So, yeah, that was kind of a funny situation. But now they're dueling over whether a deal has been made or not. But here's another situation from MMA. Former Ultimate Fighting Championship lightweight title contender TJ Grant. Back in the news. He stepped away from the game after suffering a concussion during training. And they had some protocol with concussions, and they had to pull him from his first ever title fight, which was supposed to go against Benson Henderson at UFC 164 in September of 2013. But since then, obviously, things have changed quite a bit in the 155-pound division, and obviously his priorities have changed, too, because he hasn't come back. And he says now he may never come back to MMA because at the end of the day, he has a growing family to maintain and spending money to mount a comeback isn't exactly the kind of ideal situation he needs to be in right now. This is kind of an interesting commentary on not only injury, but the sport of mixed martial arts and where it stands even still today. He says, I've been doing this sport, or I did this sport, for a long time. Can't say that I'm currently doing it. I'm not going to close the door. I'm never coming back to fight. But at this point, I am just taking care of myself and my family first and foremost. I did well. See, I wouldn't say I made a lot of money, but I was able to buy a house and then buy another one. At this point, where did the sport really leave me? It kind of left me injured, and then I had a little bit over a year where I just basically accumulated debt like most fighters do in between fights. And let me say that part again. It kind of left me injured, and then I had a little over a year where I just basically accumulated debt like most fighters do in between fights.
Wow.
Now, little sad. About the UFC, I think. But he goes on, basically, I was hurt for a while and I basically had to go back to work and be a regular guy for a bit. I would definitely entertain the thought of going back to fighting, but at this point, I also have to realize that to get back into fighting, it costs money. You got training camps and basically put your whole life on hold. Right now, it's not something that's in the cards for me having two little ones. It's obviously taking precedence over my life and, you know, potentially in the future, you never know. I still feel like I'd love to compete. I still feel like there is some fire in me. I definitely love combat sports and I love competing, so I'd like to do it potentially, but I haven't made up my mind at all.
Well, you know, after he knocked out Gray Maynard, and, you know, I hated to see that because, you know, I'm a big fan of Gray, but I knew TJ was the real deal, and I was looking forward to see him, see where he was going to wind up. And he definitely could have made a run at things. Hate to hear that.
Yeah, it's not worth it. Not worth it. It just doesn't translate into a workable situation when you have a family now, number one. You have to think about them. He's got a regular job already. He's had to do this. Once you get out of fighting, so that's a situation that Dana White likes to make fun of. Well, if you're not good enough and you suck, you don't perform enough, then you shouldn't be deserved to be paid the high prices. But the guys that are getting paid the high prices per fight work just as hard, if not less hard, less than guys that are grinding it out every day making the peanuts.
And see, Rich, here's a point that you keep driving this point home. How many times has Dana had a competitive fight in boxing or MMA?
Never.
Right. Now, anyone that's even competed at the amateur level would have too much respect for fighting to say something like that.
Right.
Like, in other words, it's the easiest thing in the world. I mean, you show me a couple sports between boxing and MMA that are more difficult, that take more dedication, that take, I'm not going to waste words on it. It's too, hate to even, when I hear something like that, I just get so upset that, how dare you say that?
Oh, come on, it's easy.
I'll grant you, it looks easy. It looks easy. Get in there and try it.
Okay? Yeah.
I mean, because when you watch the great guys do it, they make it look easy. Let me know how that works out, like you heard.
As far as TJ's health, he does say he's feeling pretty good for the most part. The concussion issues are in the history books, but he does have episodes of short-term memory loss.
Damn, I hate to hear that.
That's also common among fighters. But he did say it might be a side effect of getting older.
Yeah, right. What is he, like 33 or something? Shut up, geez. Give me a break. He'll learn just when that number gets doubled, then he can start whining. Not until then.
Now we pissed Tom off. Uh-oh. All right, so boxing. Got a lot of boxing to talk about. Antoine Douglas is fighting tomorrow night at the D Hotel and Casino out there in Vegas. Fighting Les Sherrington. Antoine is 18-0-1 at middleweight. Sherrington is 35-7. This is a 10-round fight for the vacant WBA International Middleweight title and the vacant WBO International Middleweight title. Also on the card, undefeated Taras Shelestiak, who is 12-0. Fighting Aslanbek Kozeyev at welterweight, who is 26-1-1. And it's for the vacant WBA Intercontinental welterweight title and the vacant WBO NABO welterweight title. Also, Fedor Papazov, 16-1, fighting Miguel Angel Gonzalez, who's 23-4 for lightweight fight. Another interesting one here. Kenan Smith, 8-0, fighting Benjamin Whitaker, 10-1 at welterweight. That's an 8-rounder. And let's see what else we got going on. Coming up this weekend. You can do it.
Hey, good luck.
Almost there. Okay, Saturday. There's a vacant France light heavyweight title fight in France. Kevin Thomas Cogine, 16-7-1, fighting Hakeem Chui, who is 34-1. 30 wins, 4 losses, 1 draw. Yeah, I'd love to have a world title or a country title in a country that's known for running away from fights, right?
Yeah, right.
That's if you've studied history, you didn't realize how wrong that statement was. Just look at Napoleon, look at World War One. Read about French history. I think they just had a belly full of it.
Oh, no. I should be
straying off
be
agreeing topic.
Since I'm half French. Technically. Mexico on Saturday. We have Miguel Roman, 52-11 at lightweight, fighting Samuel Amoco, who is 21-4 at lightweight. We also have Carlos Cardenas, 21-9-1, fighting Neri Seguilin, who is 34-4-1 at lightweight for the WBC United States silver lightweight title. Fighting in Mexico, that makes sense. Trump would love that. Then we've got the interim WBA World Welterweight title on the line in Monaco on Saturday. David Venetian, who is 21-1, 20 wins, 1 loss, 1 draw at welterweight, will be fighting Charlie Navarro, who is 25-7. Then we have the WBC Silver Super Bantamweight title on the line between Amor Bal Adi Aj Ali, who is 14-3-1, and Jun Kui Shao, who is 18-2. And then we have the interim WBA World Bantamweight title between Zanat Zakayanov, who is 25-1, and Yonfrez Parejo, who is 17-1-1. Could we get any harder names, people? Come on. Match up some Smiths over there. All right, here we go. United Kingdom, these names should be easy. Callum Smith fighting Rocky Fielding over there in Liverpool. Eddie Hearn matchroom boxing card here. This is super middleweight, vacant BBB of C, British super middleweight title. Both these guys undefeated. Callum Smith is 17-0, Fielding is 21-0. And his name is Rocky. You got to like that, right? Rocky Fielding. I don't know much about him. Do you know anything about him, Tony?
Good name, though.
Rocky Fielding. Then we also have the co-feature is Scott Cardle at lightweight fighting Sean Dodd, who's 10-1. Scott's 18-0. This is for the BBB of C British lightweight title. And then we have an intercontinental WBO title on the line at lightweight, vacant title. 38-5-1 is the record for Ricky Burns fighting Josh King, who has 20 wins, 3 losses going into this one. Pretty interesting card there over in Liverpool. And for the United States, we have the big event is USA HBO. HBO fight. Bob Arum actually has a fight going on. And he doesn't have to worry about getting drowned out by premier boxing champions on. Timothy Bradley Jr. fighting Brandon Rios Saturday night at the Thomas and Mack Center out there in Vegas. Timothy is 32-1-1, the one loss obviously being to Pacquiao.
I was there.
Is 33-2-1. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you.
Did we lose you? You skipped out for a second?
No, I was just saying I was there.
Oh. All right.
He was there at the fight, remember? He had his camera going. Yeah, he had his camera going at the end.
Was.
I thought you. Yes, I thought sir. We skipped out. They're like, I'm here.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I'm so used to having technical difficulties. When we don't have them, I don't know how to deal with it.
No, I'll tell you, everything's coming in good tonight, Rich. Real good.
Timothy Bradley, he's 32-1-1, and he's being trained now famously by Teddy Atlas. So we'll see if that makes a big difference here. Brandon Rios isn't that impressive to me, but he's got a good training regimen. He is up there in the welterweight picture. He's got a lot of wins, but yeah, I think Timothy's going to handle him pretty well here. He is Bob Arum's guy.
And Tony, I think you summed up Brandon Rios one time. Before he fought Pacquiao, and kind of said, "Well, Brandon Rios is going to come forward and do what Brandon Rios does." And that's pretty much what you see is what you get with them. I've noticed every fight. I always keep that in mind. And that was very accurate. That's you know what you're going to get out of him. No surprises.
I'm trying to know if I was able to write a preview article on that fight. I think I did. And if I did, I'll have to look it up. But that's, one of the things I said on there. That, Rios, he's going to come at you. He's going to give you action. He's going to throw balls to the wall, but at the same time, he doesn't vary up.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's going to be, the downfall. And against Pacquiao, it was.
Also, the co-feature here is for the WBO World Featherweight title. Vasily Lomachenko, only 4-1 here, fighting Romulo Kowasika, who is 25-4 there. We also have Miguel Mariaga fighting Guillermo Avila. Mariaga is 20-1. Avila is 15-4. Mike Reed versus Oscar Cortez. Reed is 16-0 at super lightweight. Cortez is 25-2. So pretty stacked card there. But we also have, I spoke too soon about the Premier Boxing Champions because we do have a PBC card on NBC Sports Saturday. Main event, we're going to find out who the busier fighter is. Kevin Busier is 24-2. Fighting away for an IBF eliminator. For Frederick Lawson, he's a test too, who is 24-0 is Frederick Lawson. Busier does have the two losses, so, you know, somebody's O doesn't have to go, but their losses have been a little bit spaced out. I don't know who else is in this IBF title eliminator, but it's pretty interesting they're putting that at the top of a PBC card. We also have Walter Castillo, 26-3 at super lightweight, fighting Kita Obara, who's 15-1. Don't know if he's related to our former and most famous guest so far as listens, Hector, but Alexis Camacho, 21-5, fighting Erickson Lubin in the super lightweight fight, who's 12-0. Also, Kanat Islam, 19-0, fighting Jonathan Batista, who's 15-7 at super welterweight, and it's an interesting one. Greatest Prescott, 28-7, fighting Claudine Lacerda, who's 17-12-1.
Prescott, good fighter. You know, a big, he had a big upset win over Amir Khan. You know, he's a good puncher, a little bit one-dimensional. I think it was an upset he had over Khan, obviously. Would he be able to replicate it? I don't know. But he's the guy, he's another one who's going to give you an effort. He's going to go out there and he's going to, you know, bombs away at you. And if he hits you, he's got a shot at taking you out. If not, you know, you're likely to get outboxed him.
Exactly. All right. I think that's all the news that I had. We didn't really talk about any boxing from last week results, but as we know, BoxRec sucks for that.
You got the truth.
So I don't know. What did we miss?
Well, I'm trying to remember, really.
Was there any big fight last week? I should just go and check Fight News Unlimited, shouldn't I? We do have a blog.
You should. Check our website. You know, I had two events last week. You know, I had a fundraiser where I wore my sequin gold tuxedo. I won Best Dressed, which I'm sure doesn't surprise you, don't you?
Holy Go in with that mission? Did you know there was going to be that award?
Actually, it was funny. The woman that was running it is basically like my aunt. We're not related, but she's like my aunt. And she was the one running this event, and I was helping her promote it. And she told me the one day when we were, you know, going over the ticket sales and all that, she goes, one of my people on my committee wants to do a Best Dressed contest. And they wanted me to pick the winner, and she goes, I can't do that. They're like, why not? You're the president of the committee. She goes, because I know who's going to win. And he's basically my nephew. I can't award the prize to a family member. And they're like, how do you know he's going to win? She's like, trust me. Wait till you see him. He's going to win. I walk in and they're like, yeah, he's won. I mean, come on. Who shows up to him? I mean, the person that, there were two people. There was a male and a female best dressed. The female, she was a beautiful little 81-year-old widow woman. She was so sweet. The runners up, but the only people that had any chance of beating me were my dad, who showed up in a black shirt with a gold necklace with a boxing glove on it and a camouflage sports jacket.
Right.
From Van Houston, of all people. And another guy, this guy Butch, big husky guy, who did like the mafia style look, you know, black slacks, black shirt, white tie, white suspenders. But come on, you ain't going to beat a sequin gold tux. For the next one, I think I'm going with a sequin red tux. A tornado styling.
All right. Well, I'm just finding some results here. Caleb Plant got another win over the weekend over Tyrone Brunson. Took about a test, just mentioned with the other fight.
Tyrone Brunson, well, that boy started his career off great. He was like 18-0 with 18 first-round knockouts or something like that. Tied or broke the record. And as soon as the guy got him to the second round and beat him, his career went downhill.
Yeah. Well, it was 79-73 twice, and then 78-74 on a unanimous decision for Caleb Plant. It was part of PBC on NBCSN. Also, we had another pretty big, decent fight going on over the weekend. Jermell Charlo versus Joaquin Alcine.
yeah, I remember the one that we talked about last weekend. I remember Alcine. He's a good fighter. He had a world title for a while, but, you know, he's the one that faded out fast, and Charlo's a rising star. And part played as it should have.
Yeah, 6-round knockout for Charlo, and it was a main event. Also, Tony Harrison, 22-1 with 18 KOs, got the UD over Cecil McCullough, 20 wins, 3 losses, 7 knockouts. And as I mentioned, Caleb Plant beat Tyrone Brunson. He stays undefeated. Jermell Charlo said, I established my jab early, and once I was comfortable with my jab, the right hand started landing. I wanted to load up and show that I had power. I knew I was getting to him and wearing him down. It felt great to get the knockout. Also said he's a strong fighter. He says, I am a completely different fighter now with my new trainer. My brother noticed it too and told me the same thing. He said, hopefully I can fight again in December, and I want John Jackson next. Joaquin Alcine said, my right hand was working well for me, but I stopped throwing it and started focusing too much on my jab. I didn't fight for a year and a half, and then I jumped right into the ring with a hungry young lion. I wanted to fight, but sometimes pride takes its toll. That seems to be a familiar theme with PBC, I've noticed. They're bringing fighters out off the shelf for these appearances where I think a lot of them know they're going to lose. They're meant to lose. But that's boxing. That's where Al Heyman has to be a shady figure to do some of this stuff. Unfortunately, bringing these older guys back who have name recognition, but he knows they're going to lose. I don't know. Anyway, Tony Harrison said, I wanted to stay focused and get in my rhythm. The whole point is to hit and not get hit, and I thought I did a great job of that through 8 rounds. I just need to stay focused for the whole fight. He actually added he did get the 9th round, and that happened against Willie Nelson as well. He said, thankfully, I had the experience this time to pull it out. Said, I wanted to show the fans that I can take a punch, and I definitely showed that tonight. I'm back. Next time I want to fight someone who was a little more offensive. McCullough was throwing so few punches, it was actually hard to get down the timing against him. I'd love to fight back home in Detroit next, and I'd like to face the winner of tonight's main event. He's also ready for Willie Nelson again, though. He says, if he can do it twice, he'll make me a believer. That's a good comment. Caleb Plant added, the plan tonight was to stay composed and relaxed. I was doubling up my jab and landing combinations up and down his body all fight. I saw him start to break down after the second and third rounds, but I didn't want to push too hard. Instead, Troll, take him into the floor, dominate the fight. That's what I did. I'd love to fight again this year, maybe in December. And he's also added, I'm not taking any punishment, and we're always staying in shape and ready. So as long as I'm healthy, I'll fight as often as I can against whoever they put in front of me. Okay. We also had Bounce TV had some fights. Malik Scott took down Tony Thompson. Right there. Malik improves to 38-2-1 with 13 knockouts. Beats Tony the Tiger Thompson, not to be confused with Tony the Tornado.
Sure, we don't want to do that confusion.
Thompson is 40-6 with 27 KOs now. That was PBC on Bounce TV Friday night. Malik controlled most of the action through the 10 rounds. He basically used a lot of movement. And Thompson did, hang in there. And he did get a knockdown with a right hand in round 9, but wound up going the distance. And all three judges gave the bout to Scott by scores of 98-91, 96-93, and 95-94. Then we had Sergey Lipinets 8-0, stayed undefeated, beaten Lydell Rhodes, who was undefeated. Now he's 23-1-1 with a lot of knockouts. That's at super lightweight. Basically, Lipinets stalked Rhodes early on and wore him down before dominating and nearly stopping him in the later rounds. Lipinets landed 79 power punches out of the 122 landed, or thrown, I think they need to say. And his 79 power punches matched Rhodes' 79 total punches landed. How about that? 96, 93, and 98, 291 twice, all in favor of Lipinets. And then Samuel El Macho Figueroa, 10-0, with four knockouts, got a unanimous decision win over Javante Starks, 13-1 with seven knockouts. Tony Thompson said he was just too fast. If I were younger, I would have caught him. A prime Tony would have kicked his ass, but I'm 44 and the hits starting to pile up. Malik did a great job of staying away until I was able to catch him with one good shot. He just pity-patted his way to victory. I would rate my performance a D at best. I was the aggressor, but I didn't cut him off good until late in the fight. My coach kept telling me to go to the right, but for whatever reason, I only started going to the right late in the fight. That was when I caught him. It was an outstanding performance by Malik. He did what he's supposed to do to an older fighter. Now, is that a backhanded compliment or what? Malik said to his defense, my skill set was good, but this is one of those tapes I will hate to look at when I get home. Tony got away with a lot. I was making him miss and not making him pay. But let's not forget I haven't fought for a whole year. I had to get more active, so after this fight, we'll see what's next. I'm never satisfied with my performances, but that's what keeps me going. He also added, I was hurting the knife, definitely, but I'm in great shape, and I wasn't worried about it. I got through it, and let him know he'd have to do it again to win this fight. Tony's legs are very slow, so I was just losing him with the feet all night long. They're kind of both admitting that, yeah, that had a lot to do with Tony being old. Sergey Lipinets said he ran too much about Rhodes. He didn't want to fight. It was very difficult to fight someone who doesn't really want to fight. I had him hurt in the 8th, 9th, and 10th rounds. Definitely, I was hurting him with every punch, but he was holding so much it wasn't easy to finish him. Plus, he takes a good punch. He said, I learned to put more combinations together. I came to fight, not run. He thinks he won the fight. He's the only one in the whole arena. I won every round. It took him a few rounds. He should be happy about that. Lydell said, the judging is what went wrong. I won this fight. I felt I controlled most of the fight until the last couple rounds. He came on strong in the later rounds. He caught me in the 7th, 8th, and 9th rounds, but I controlled the first 6. He wasn't that strong. He caught me in the 7th, 8th, and 9th rounds, but he wasn't that strong. He had good pressure, he says, but I was never hurt in the fight. I know I was in this fight. And let's see. Pretty much it for boxing results. We got Bellator fight coming up this tomorrow night, Tom. Tom, you still with us? Tom, are we? We're still on Blog Talk Radio, but Tom's not answering. Maybe you got disconnected to the show page. Yeah, he's off the show page for some reason. Maybe he lost battery. But we're still live. We got 36 minutes left. We've got really no ammo left for the gun here. Unless you have Tony. I'm all
no, up. I really don't. I'm just trying to think, you know, if we have anything else, you know, good in the works. Can't really think of anything, to be honest. I've been doing so much, doing little side jobs here and there, I haven't had a chance to really keep up with the fight game, unfortunately.
Right. Yeah, the wood business is pretty intense. You know, I am...
yeah, this time of year, yeah, I can see that being busy.
I am hitting the bag a lot when I can during breaks from being out in the woods.
But I actually started doing a little bit of weight work, you know, the Christmas tree season coming up. This is one of the years that I really had a chance, you know, my weight's down and everything, that I can, just do some work to just build strength a little bit. that way, you know, especially build some of my back muscles.
Right. Yeah, I have some sciatica issues myself, and I finally cured the sciatica on the right side, only to now start feeling it on the left side the last few days. So I'm like, what the fuck? It's pissing me off. But, yeah, it's not as potent on the left side anyway, but I do know the right stretches now, which is good. And that's the number one cure for most sciatica conditions is the right stretches. So it's one good thing about that. Let's see. There's still rumors out there that Pacquiao is fighting Khan. We'll see. Here is one story I should mention. We just talked about Khabib Nurmagomedov. I mean, we talked about the other guy who was injured. We got Tom back now. TJ Grant. We just talked about TJ Grant. Now, Khabib Nurmagomedov is back in the news, talking about he's not sure if he'll return to MMA after his latest injury.
Yeah, not a good sign.
I had to pull out of an highly anticipated bout with Tony Ferguson December 11th last year due to a rib injury. That was the latest in a string of injuries which kept him out of competition since April 29, 2014, when he beat Rafael Dos Anjos, who is now the UFC lightweight champion. And after that occurred, he said, I'm not sure if I'll ever come back. And even after a week to think about things, he has yet to decide if he's going to follow through on thoughts of retirement. It was just during a light grappling session, not sparring or doing anything strenuous. So this is kind of weird. He's just that pissed off about being injured. He doesn't want to do anything. But I guess some people have that luxury now. They don't have to fall back on that. They don't need to. Let's see. What do we got? Bellator, anything going on? November 6th.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Rich, with Bellator tomorrow, the fight I'm looking for is that Marcin Held. He's maybe the best leg lock guy in the business today, and he's
right.
His jiu-jitsu is just a really high level. Now Brooks feels it's irrelevant, but Brooks isn't too much on finishing fights either. So this is the one I'm looking forward to.
Well, our former guest fought one of the guys who is fighting in the main event here, Daniel Strauss, 23-6, fighting Patricio Freire, otherwise known as Pitbull. He's one of my favorite Bellator fighters, just for his comeback alone. He's 24-2. He's a lot of fighter in a little package, if you want to put it that way. He actually was fighting one of his toughest battles with Daniel Weichel, who was interviewed by one of our other former guests right before that fight, Susan Singari there. But Daniel Weichel was supposed to tune him up and was tuning him up until Riera just took a step back against the cage and unleashed a left hook from hell that Tony would be proud of and wiped him out, just knocked him out cold. A couple more punches were landed after that, too, but it was a moot point. But I am excited to see Patricio again, see what he's going to do against Strauss, who is a much more well-rounded fighter, I think. Has had a lot of opportunities, but just hasn't had this kind of a matchup in a while. Then we've got the co-main event, Will Brooks, 16-1, fighting Marcin Held, as Tom mentioned, who is 21-3. Will is very capable at 16-1. He's been around the division. Tough guy. We've also got Justin Lawrence, 8-2, fighting Emmanuel Sanchez, who's 11-2. Michael Chandler, 13-3-0, fighting David Rickles, 16-3. They call him the Caveman. And one of the big ones I'm looking forward to is Bobby Lashley versus James Thompson, 13-2.
Yes.
Lashley versus James Thompson, 20-14.
Now this is the second time around from them, if my memory serves me correct.
They did say that, but I don't remember them fighting before.
But yeah, that's why I was going to ask you, because I didn't have time to look it up. But it seems like they had met in it would probably be
Strikeforce, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. And Michael Chandler and Michael Chandler and the Caveman. This will be the second time around for them too. So, like these little rematches here.
Super Fight League 3 is a unanimous decision win for James Thompson, May 6, 2012. Mm. Must have been between Strikeforce, between Strikeforce and Bellator. So, yeah, this is unfinished business, I guess, for Lashley. See, the thing about Lashley is he's too jacked. Okay, we have a situation there where he's got too much muscle definition. And sometimes that hurts you, especially when you're trying to go for submissions or you're trying to use your reach to your advantage. You have no reach when you have too many muscles.
And cardio. Because as Joe Rogan so eloquently summed it up, those big muscles need fed. And again, we can look at boxing. I mean, when you see these body beautiful guys, well, sometimes you look at the tall, thin guys. They're the ones with the punch. They're the ones that can fight all night. So it's not a bodybuilding competition.
So if everybody out there is looking for fights to watch, I hope you've been taking notes because we just gave you a shitload of excuses to sit be this weekend and watch fights. Hopefully you're out doing stuff too, staying in shape, because it's been some great weather up here in New England. I'm sure you've experienced the same type of shit down there in Philadelphia, right, Tony?
It's been actually really nice this week. You know, a little bit of rain, but, you know, I'm not complaining. It's been around the 60s.
Hell yeah.
We almost hit 80 today.
Awesome. I'll take it.
Yeah, sure. Me too.
I have a bet going with my coworker. He's taken November 21st and taken December 1st for the first major snowstorm that will accumulate over an inch of snow. I'm going December 1st. I'm going late. So hopefully I'm right. But we'll see. Mother Nature never cooperates. All right, guys. Well, that's it for us. Till next week.
Always a pleasure, gentlemen.
All right, guys. Always fun, and as I always say, let's enjoy the fights this weekend. Like you said, Rich, we gave everyone a whole bunch of them to find, so no excuses. All right, guys, over and out.
All right. See you later. I'll still leave the baby.
Good.
You don't think that's fucking important, huh? You don't think fucking stop the fucking joint.